body of Christ can operate the way that it's designed to operate. And so I think the encouraging thing would be always as a pastor is to try to get people to understand what their gifts are as quickly as possible, and then to be able to engage and get involved and use those spiritual gifts in the work of the Lord. Everybody is gifted, and some of you may have the same gifts. It just depends. We're going to show you some things tonight when you look at it. But let's kind of break this down tonight so we can get the concept of it. But verse 1, 2, and 3, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he talks about these spiritual gifts. And he says, in verse 1, he says, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren," so he's talking to Christians at the church at Corinth, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant. So he said, you know, these are something you should know. You should be aware of. You should be gifted and understand them. In verse 2, he said, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols." I like how he does calls them dumb idols. "Even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit," the Holy Spirit of God, "calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." And so when you look at it here, it's really interesting. He goes after the idols and goes after, he calls them dumb idols, or goes after anybody that follows false gods. And God is really obviously against idolatry and that. And so then he talks about here, and it's important to understand that the gifts that he gifts us with is given to you by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has gifted you for certain gifts within the church. And so look how he does here. He talks about the ministry, and he kind of paints, I think, what you would call a big picture approach here. And by that, in verse 4, he said, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." In other words, there's many kinds of different gifts. I'm going to give those to you tonight. There are some what is called temporary gifts that was only used in the first century, and then there's permanent gifts. I'm going to get to those in a little bit. And then he says in verse 5, "There are differences of administration, but the same Lord." Keep in mind, one Spirit, Holy Spirit, one Lord, but many different gifts. "There are diversities of operations," he says, "but it is the same God which worketh all in all." Do you notice the Trinity there in verse 4, 5, and 6? He talks about the Holy Spirit in verse 4, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 5, and talks about God the Father in verse 6. So then the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is given to every man, notice this now, every man, to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the word of, and I'll come back to these in a little bit, but I just want to read through these so you have them identified. The Holy Spirit is gifted the church, some the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, by the same Holy Spirit, and then to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers or different kinds of tongues. And by the way, Bible tongues was only used to preach the gospel. So it's talking really about when it says divers kinds of tongues, different kinds of languages spoken in the preaching of the gospel so that people could hear the gospel and be saved. By the way, that's the only way that the gift of tongues was ever used, was for the proclamation of the gospel so people in their tongue, their language, could hear it and could understand it and could be saved. It was always to that end. And then, along with that, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these here, these gifts that he just identified for us from verse 8, 9 and verse 10, all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing every man severely as he will, severely as the Holy Spirit will, and gives thy diversity of gifts within the body of Christ. So it's interesting when you look at it here, he really identifies these, and we'll drill down on these here in just a moment. But every believer here, we know, is a member of the body of Christ, and as such, you have a definite ministry. Now, I realize today, we live in an interesting age today, because today, it seems like in our world today, a lot of people have contented themselves that, you know, they want to go and they want to be entertained for 1 hour in the morning. And they want to go to a worship service that has a great worship and praise and music and all that, and maybe get a good Bible message or sermon or whatever, and then they're content and they move on the rest of the week. It's not how God designed it. When you look at it today, it's really designed in such a way in the church that God has gifted the believers in the church and given them certain functions and abilities to be able to carry on the work of the ministry. And I'm afraid that many of our churches in the world that we live in, especially in America and that, have gone more to an entertainment style, and they just want to go and be entertained and get their entertainment for that week or whatever, and then wait around until the next week rolls around and do it again. So when you look at it here, every believer, though, and to realize here that every believer is a member of the body of Christ. So let's look at it in verse 12. For as the body is one body, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So in the local church, although we are diverse, and although we are many, we are one body in Christ. And so when you look at it by verse 13, he said, for by one Spirit, that Holy Spirit, then, we are all baptized into one body. Notice he's talking about Spirit baptism. And when you and I are saved, you're baptized into the body of Christ. The Bible teaches water baptism, and it teaches Spirit baptism. Here it's talking about Spirit baptism. You're baptized into the body of Christ, whether we be Jew or Gentile, in verse 13, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. So although we're very diverse and the Holy Spirit has gifted us, we're still much diversity in the body, but yet we all are gifted by one Spirit, that Holy Spirit. And the body is not one member in verse 14, but many, many members in the body. You got to learn how to live within the body and that. Now, what I thought it was interesting, look at the contrast, how he kind of relates this. In verse 15, he said, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, then I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him, as it pleased God. So the most important thing we do is we should find out our gift, find our position in the body, and it's a diverse area and to real. And you may not understand, you may not agree with everybody else in that, and you just need to find your gift and utilize your gift and go to work. I think Dr. Spracklin had a good motto when he worked here in the church for 30 years, and his theory was as soon as they get saved or baptized or come in or join the church or whatever, is put them to work. What was he saying? He was saying get them engaged and find your gift. And you know what? So many people are reluctant to get engaged and find their gift. They'll wait and wait, and the sooner you find your gift, the sooner you get engaged, the more happier and fulfilled you'll be in the diversity of gifts. So he says here, in this context, if they were all one member, where were the body? And that in verse 19, verse 20, but now are they many members, but yet one body. Back to that one body, unity and harmony in one body. We always must strive for unity and harmony in one body. And boy, the Satan loves to mix that up every once in a while, and not necessarily here, but he could here, and that is to try to create a stir within the body and disrupt the body and what's going on. And he says, but now are many members, but one body. So notice in verse 21, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So I always kind of interesting because, you know, I often think of this. I always think about, and I can understand it. I can get it. Somebody that works in music, they may be focused on that because that's their gift, their diversity, their gifted whatever in that area there. But that doesn't mean the other ministries aren't important too. Or somebody that's a teacher may look at something different, or somebody that does something else within the church. So everybody should take their gift that you've been gifted with, but to realize too that every position in the body is absolutely important. It's just as important if you walk in the church in the body and you see somebody cleaning a window or somebody running a vacuum cleaner or somebody working in the kitchen or somebody preparing a funeral meal or somebody leading music or somebody playing a violin, whatever the diversity is, somebody being a deacon within the body, all of those are important. There's not one of those that are more important than the other. The eye cannot say to the hand that, you know, that the eye is more important. They all need each other in the body of Christ. So the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, in verse 22, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. In verse 23, and those members of the body which we think, notice this now, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. You know, there's a little bit of pride involved in that, because sometimes I think we think that what we do is the most important thing. There's nothing wrong with being serious about what you do and taking interest and do your best at what you do and put your time in that, because that is important. But it's also to realize the eye should be interested in the hand, and the hand should be interested in the foot, and all the way down the line in whatever we're all doing within the body of Christ. Paul says this in verse 24, our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered, notice this now, God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism, there's that thing, division. Remember, in the body it should be unity, it should be harmony. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So we need to be interested in somebody that no matter what their task is, no matter what their diversity is, no matter what their job is, no matter what their ministry is, it is super important. Every single one is important, and we should treat it as such, and that along the way, and be in temper together, and that there be no schisms, no divisions. And if one, in verse, I love this in verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, that's why I always try to the best I can without getting too personal in it. Try to identify this morning and you know, always from Sunday to Sunday, you know, there are certain things on prayer requests. There are certain things this morning. I think it's important. John Moore is going through a real challenge right now with his father being in hospice care. And we all need to be sensitive to what John's going through. Many of us have been there. You have a parent and you or have lost someone or are losing someone, and he's going through that right now. You think about what Joyce Adams is going through right now. You think about what, it was good to see Mark and Roxanne back here today. She's just recovering from pneumonia. And I watched Don and Evelyn walk in today, and I think, oh my goodness, boy, was it good to see them and what the journey they have been on together. It's unbelievable. It was just, I thought, a miracle to see them sitting there. I walked in this morning, and there they were sitting in the foyer in the chair. So the body, if one hurts, we all hurt. If one does good, we all do good. If, you know, and so we should all be sensitive one to another within the body. And it says, whether one member in verse 26 suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and the members in particular. And then God, notice this now, and then God has set some in the church. There are some in the church that has been put as apostles. And he starts out with apostles. Who apostles are those that have seen the resurrected Christ, the Savior in resurrection form. Well, we don't have apostles today. There are no apostles. You might have somebody in some religion, some faith somewhere that claims to be an apostle. He is not. She is not. Whoever they are not apostles. We don't have apostles today. We had apostles in the first century. Secondarily, they had prophets, those that prophesied and preaching, proclaiming of the Word of God. And thirdly, we had teachers. And then after that, miracles, then gifts of healing and helps, and I'll come back to these, and helps and governments and diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Question mark. No, they're not. Paul was an apostle, an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. John and Peter and James and on you go. There were only certain ones, individuals that God put in the church first, apostles. And on those he built the church, and then the prophets, and then teachers, and then miracles. He says in verse 30, have all the gifts of healing? Do all have the gifts of healing? Well, we'll come back to that in a minute, and I'll deal with that. And do all speak with tongues? Again, I'll come back to that and do all interpret. But notice he says in verse 31, here's how he kind of wraps up chapter 12, and we're not going to get any farther than chapter 12 tonight. We'll have to save chapter 13, 14 for upcoming Sunday evenings. But he said, covet earnestly the best gifts. He says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Covet the best gift. Desire the best gift. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the diversity of those gifts. So who is the source? I just want to point out a few things to you. The source of our giftedness is, notice in verse 11. Go back to verse 11. But all these worketh the one and selfsame Spirit. Notice this now. Dividing to every man severely as his will. So to answer the question of who's the source of our spiritual giftedness, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gifts you and gives you the gifts that you need. Same thing in verse 28. He's teaching the same principle. And God has set some in the church. So it is God that put apostles in the church. It is God that puts prophets and teachers and the gifts of miracles and healings, helps all. It is God that gifts those. Now, I want to take you over to a verse in 1 Peter 4. Hold your place there in Corinthians, but let's go to 1 Peter 4:10. And when you look at it, who possesses this spiritual giftedness? I know many times Christians may not look at that as a spiritual giftedness, but this verse makes it very clear that in the local church, and by the way, it is the local church, and 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not gifted. Oh, yeah, you are. You're gifted by the Holy Spirit of God. You just got to figure out what your gift is and where you're gifted at. And the gifts are there so that you and I can strengthen each other and help each other in the body of Christ. We're gifted in those in the areas that the Holy Spirit so chooses. Now, what is the purpose of those gifts? Well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. And I think this identifies, we already kind of looked at these verses here, but the purpose of the spiritual gifts in verse 4, remember he talked about there's a different diversities of gift, there's differences of administration. In verse 6, there's diversities of operation, but it's the same God that worketh all in all. And it's the manifestation in verse 7 of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the gifts have been gifted to you and I in the body of Christ to be able to strengthen the church, for the church to be all that the church needs to be. We need to understand our gifts and utilize our gifts and exercise those gifts in the body of Christ. Hold your place here in chapter 12, but look over in 1 Corinthians 14. And a verse over there, we'll get to this in a couple weeks or so, but 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to what? The edifying of the church. Seek the gifts. Seek whatever gift, the diversity. Seek the Holy Spirit that he has gifted the church. Why? That we can edify and exhort and build up the church and the body of Christ. For the church to be all the church is designed to be, we must understand these spiritual gifts. We need to use our spiritual gifts. We need to utilize the spiritual gifts. And every man, as we read there in 1 Peter chapter 4, is gifted for a spiritual gift. Now I want to take you to Romans. So go back just a few pages to the book of Romans. So spiritual gifts are listed in 1 Peter chapter 4 and so written by Peter, also to the church at Corinth here in 1 Corinthians, but also in Romans 12. A week ago, Sunday school, in our adult Sunday school class, we were in Romans chapter 12. And if you remember, when we read those verses and looked at it, verse 6, 7, and 8, it talks about gifts. So Paul said this in Romans 12 and verse 6. Having then, here it is now, gifts, plural, many or different kinds of gifts, according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, or he that ruleth with diligence, or he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
I think about, I've talked to different ones in our church and our church family about their gifts and that. I remember one day talking to Joyce Mertz, and Joyce said, Pastor, I should go. She said, I know exactly one of my gifts is. I said, what's that? And she said, the gift of mercy. She said, I have the gift of mercy. And I said, you know what, Joyce, you're absolutely right. And you look here, it says what? He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. When have you ever been around Joyce Mertz? I don't know about you, but anytime I'm around Joyce Mertz, and that she's always upbeat or positive or encouraging and uplifting, and Joyce feels that one of her gifts is the gift of mercy. And why is that so? You know, when you come to church, not everybody has a gift of mercy. When you come to church, not everybody is cheerful. Thank God for those that are. Amen? Because it's those people with the gift of mercy that lift up the others in the body of Christ. We need more Joyce Merches in the church family. And Joyce understands that principle. She understands she has the gift of mercy. So when you look at it, it's so important to see when you look at it here in this gift of mercy. Now, when you look here in 1 Corinthians in our text, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, he really goes on to dissect those gifts and talking about, and again, I'll break these down for you, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10 here in a moment. Well, let's go ahead and get into them, because I think there are three gifts that are identified here in the Scripture that are in the Bible. It's what's called temporary gifts. And for a better understanding of how the spiritual gifts function, I think you need to break them down. There are some gifts that are temporary, only used for a certain purpose and a certain time frame, and that God accomplished within the body. In other words, the Holy Spirit gave temporary gifts to confirm the testimony of the apostles and the prophets, and those gifts were prevalent in the early church, but ceased to be evident as the church became established. Well, let me number one just say who started the church? Jesus Christ started the church, established the church, called the assembly together, the ecclesia together, and built the church around the apostles and the early believers, and then began to put within the church apostles and teachers and prophecy and different gifts and established there. But there are three gifts, I think, that were used in the early church that were used as temporary gifts that we don't see being used today. Now the church is established. The church now has been in operation over 2,000 years. And that is, one is the gift of miracles. The gift in the Bible talks about here, and that the miracles, the gift or the ability to do wonders and signs. And Christ performed many miracles, and they're recorded in the Bible, and Paul used that gift to affirm his discipleship. For example, hold your place there, but go over to 2 Corinthians 12:12. Let me show you this. So the gift of miracles was a gift that is a temporary gift used in the first century Christianity. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, here it is now, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. There were many that were able to do miracles in the first century. Who did miracles? Christ did miracles, but the apostles, many of them, also did miracles. Peter did miracles. Paul did miracles. And so they had a gift of miracles. So that gift is no longer applicable today. Now, does that mean God's not in the miracle working business? No, he still is. God still performs miracles, but he doesn't through it assigned as a gift within the body, within the diversity of the body of Christ. That was used in the first century Christianity to show his deity and show that God is God and Christ is Lord. And so those miracles were done with great power and great authority. So a temporary gift in the first century is the gift of miracles. Secondly, let's go over to the book of Acts, and that's the gift of healing. Acts chapter 3, and I want to show you this. That was a temporary gift given in the first century. Peter had this gift. Look at it in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Then Peter said in Acts 3, 6, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Peter had the gift of healing. There are no gifts of healing today. Why was the gift of healing? It was a temporary gift used in the first century, again, to prove the power of God, the deity of Christ, and Peter had that gift, which affirmed his message and helped establish the foundation of the early church. And so it's so important to understand Peter had that gift. If you will, look in Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. What a great display in Acts 2 on the gift of tongues. You want to understand the gift of tongues, you got to go back to the book of Acts. Again, tongues was used as a temporary gift, and along with tongues, the interpretation of tongues. The gift was manifested by speaking of a language unknown to the speaker. You know, it's interesting when anytime I make mission trips into Haiti, they speak a Creole language, is part of a French language, and so wherever I go in Haiti, and in all the church services I sit in Haiti, I've got to have an interpreter right there. Reggie is my interpreter, and we brought Reggie from Haiti to the States here one time. He was here with another pastor, and so he's been here, a little short, very great guy, very well educated, and can speak fluently the Haitian, because he is Haitian language, but can speak fluently English. So without Reggie there, I didn't understand. I could pick up some words along the way, and you try to understand if you know a little bit of French, you can probably pick up the Haitian language a lot quicker, but they had to have an interpreter. So here it is in Acts 2. It said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Notice this now. "And began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem," here it is now, think about who was there, "Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." So you bring all these people together, they're speaking different languages. To hear the gospel in their own language, they had to have interpreters. It says in verse 6, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue, where we were born, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, in Judea, Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Perga, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, do we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." Tongues was always, it was a first century gift, it was a temporary gift given expressly for the purpose of preaching the gospel so people could hear the language, hear the gospel in their own language. It was used at Pentecost. It was a first century gift. And so these three gifts right there, miracles, healings, and tongues with the interpretation in tongues, were all temporary gifts. They no longer apply in the church today. They're no longer gifted in the church today. They're no longer used in the church today. So be careful when you're out there and you run into people. I still run into people that believe in the gift of tongues, and they'll always try to present it, that you're more godly and more spiritual if you can speak in tongues. I've never yet been able to have one person tell me, though, what tongues was used, what they claim is speaking in tongues and what it was used for and what they were being said. They look at it as part of their sanctification, that if you can speak in tongues, you're closer to God. If you can speak in tongues, you're more godly and more spiritual. And the flip side of that is, if you cannot speak in tongues, then you're not as spiritual as those that can speak in tongues. That's not Bible tongues. That is not God. That's not what God taught in the Bible. So it's interesting to see the importance those three gifts. Keep in mind, those three gifts, miracles, healing, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues, were temporary gifts used for a season in the first century. Now, let me give you, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Let me give you some of the gifts that are what we would call permanent gifts. In other words, the Holy Spirit gave gifts for the building up of the church, and that's what we find here in chapter 12. And so these were prevalent in the early church, and they're still in the early church today. So you might find, as we get down through these, and that you may find where one of these is your gift, or more than one gift that you've been gifted with, and that. So finding here, beginning up there in chapter 12, in verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. Let's go down through here. Not in any certain order here, but let's just take the gift of prophecy, because it deals with prophecy also over in verse 28 and that. Prophecy in the Bible here is the ability to preach or to tell forth or to declare the Scripture. Prophecy does not necessarily mean foretelling the future. It means proclaiming the future. Did you ever wonder this? Did you ever wonder why some people win people to Christ and some people don't? You ever wonder why soul winners rise up and spend time, proclaiming the gospel? Let me share this with you. You will never, ever win somebody to Christ if you don't go after the fish that are in the pond. If you're going to go fishing, you're going to have to fish for people. If you, the way I always kind of look at it, if you want one, you can probably get one, you can find one. But let me ask you this, who's on your list that you're praying for salvation? Who do you know? And the more that you have in your pond that you're fishing for, the better the chances are you're probably going to win some of them for Christ. You got to have a desire to win them to Christ. You got to have a desire to proclaim the gospel. You got to have a desire to share the Scripture and share the Bible, the Word of God, and that. And so there are many, down through life, and some will take. And so I look at it as many will have the gift of prophecy or to declare the Scripture. And that's why it's so important to know and to understand the Bible and use the Bible wherever you can to be able to share the gospel with somebody else that can come to a saving knowledge of Christ. So you got the gift of prophecy. You got the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching. You know, it was interesting this week. I had a short teacher's meeting with Dolores Hamrick and Paul Tacy and Pastor Adam Wade this week. There was four of it. There's really only four that teach on Sunday. Mark. You teach on Sunday, and Mark and Pam does, and then Rachel in those. But we just got together for a few minutes on some adult stuff that was going on that we wanted to take a minute and talk about. So when you look at, we got about a half a dozen people. I wish that we had more teachers. I wish that, we could, there should not be an empty room anywhere in the building. Amen? You look at that and you say, get a teacher. Get somebody that will take a Bible and the Word of God and get to whatever age group God lays in your heart and begin teaching the Scripture on that. But there is the gift of teaching. I understand that. And that gift is the ability to teach the Word of God and it to help hearers understand the Scripture as the author intended. That's really what teaching is really all about. And sometimes, when you look at it and you think about it, I didn't go looking to be a teacher. You know how I learned how to be, learn or got started teaching is the same way I learned how to swim. I get kicked off the dock. and pushed in the pond. And somebody come along, and my uncle, Eb McIntyre, pushed me in 25 feet of water. He says, "Rick, do you know how to swim? I'm only a little kid." And I said, "No, not yet." He said, "Today's your lucky day." And he pushed me off a dock in 25 feet of water and then jumped in with me and taught me how to swim. Same way, I remember being at Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. And after church one day, this lady come right up to me, and I knew who she was, but I really didn't know her. Her name was Mrs. Williams, and she come up and she said, "Are you Rick Henry?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And she goes, "Good." She goes, she was the superintendent for the junior department, and that would be the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys and girls. And she goes, "I need a teacher for the 6th grade boys class." And she goes, "Teacher meeting is next week. I'll see you in teacher's meeting." I said, whoa, slow down. I said, "No, I don't want to do that." She goes, "Oh, yeah." She goes, "You need to be there, and you need to get engaged, and you need to start teaching, and you show up in teacher's meeting, because next Sunday, you're going to be in the 6th boys." That was my first class of being with 6th grade boys. And I was nervous and scared. I remember walking in that day, and you walk in, and there's 4 or 5 little boys sitting there as 6th graders. And I found out, you know, that was some of the most fun that I ever had, is being able to teach. And at that time, I was 19 years old. So I had never taught before, never been engaged before. I thought, she goes, and I said, "Miss Williams," I said, "you don't understand." I said, "I've never done this before." She goes, "You'll figure it out." I thought, you know, it's kind of like learning how to swim. They push you off and get you going. So teaching, and some of the greatest joys in that. I remember Warren back here, sitting here, in that with AM Connection. And I remember the day I went to Warren and I asked him if he'd be willing to teach in AM Connection. At first, you turned me down, right? Yeah, shaky his yes. Yeah, he turned me down. He wouldn't do it. And then he began to think about it, and then he began to do it. Now, today, it's like if we tried to wrestle it away from him, he'd arm wrestle us for it. And we're in the book of Ezekiel, and thoroughly enjoys it. So what is the benefit of the teacher to be able to, because it forces you to dig, to study, to learn, and what a privilege that is. Then, if you will, let's go to verse 9 there, to another faith, that word faith, by the same Spirit. That word faith, that gift is a consistent, enabling faith that truly believes God in the face of overwhelming obstacles and human impossibilities for great things. You know, I think about it. I don't know about you. I miss Dick Hook. Dick Hook was a great friend of mine. He was a deacon emeritus here, one of our deacons, and a godly man. And I spent a lot of time with Dick. I remember when Marie was up at the hospital and she had that stroke and got taken to the hospital and gone through all that, and then the Lord took Marie home, and I'll never forget Dick coming to me after that, and he said, "Pastor, now that Marie's gone," he said, "I gotta have something to do." He said, "What do you need done?" And I said, "Well, we need somebody to mow," and he said, "I'll do that." And I remember this day, I don't know, Dick I think passed away at what, around 93, 94? And many of you already know this, but Dick jumped on that mower. I don't know how many years he mowed. And he mowed here at the church for years around here, sitting on that mower. Many times as he got older and near the end, we'd have to go out there and check on him, make sure he was still sitting on the mower and had a bottle of water. But you know, many times in my conversation with Dick, it would come down to, as we talked about different things or whatever, and his comment always, "Pastor, I don't know how it's going to work out." And I don't, because I would use him as a sounding board, and I'd ask him certain things, and he'd say, I don't understand it, and I don't know, but let's just trust God, and let's just have faith. And Dick was always good about saying, let's just trust the Lord. And that, you know, I think you got to apply some common sense, but I do believe some people have a gift of faith. I think Jerry Falwell, I think, had the gift of faith. Many people will have a gift. And what that is, it's an overwhelming faith in overcoming obstacles and challenges of life for God to do great things. Then, if you will, you look at it here, we find the gift of wisdom. And that is the ability to apply wisdom gained from spiritual insight to believers, knowing what is the right and what is the wrong thing, and apply knowledge to that. And so you might have the gift of wisdom, and thank God for those that have the gift of wisdom. And the gift of wisdom is the ability to take and apply again the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. And it's always right to do right, having the gift of wisdom. And I thank God every day. We have great deacons in our church, and I thank God for our men and for our leadership and for the people. And not only that, I go to men in the church that are not deacons, and I thank God for those men and ask and bounce and get ideas. And they have many have that gift of wisdom that we can seek what is right, what's the right, what's the wrong thing to do. Then you have the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge. That's an understanding of the facts of Scripture. That's understanding the Bible. And from a human perspective, it's a scholarship and the ability to know the truth of Scripture, both on a big scale and a minute scale, is to know their Bible. I always thank God for those. And I could go around our congregation Sunday after Sunday and pick out people that have a great gift or great knowledge of the Word of God. And the Bible. And that's a gift to be able to know. I think back in the congregation and that people that God put here. I always enjoyed my time with Mason Mertz. And Mason was an unusual kind of guy that always made you think and would always pick your mind and always probe at you and always challenge you scripturally. And those of you that have been around a while, Mason's been gone now for several years. But I remember getting together Mason and Gary Mayberry and I, and sometimes Craig Plants would go along with that, and we'd sit and we'd talk about different things in the Bible and the Scripture. And Mason had a good foundation of knowledge in the Scripture and in the Bible and the Word of God, and made you think. And he'd say something on the way out of the foyer and the door that say, "Mason, I'll get back to you on that. I got to think about that for a little bit." And always prompted you and made you think. So the gift of knowledge, and you're always reading and studying, and that. I think Brother Gary Mayberry had the gift of knowledge. Craig Plants, I think, also had the gift, but brought in the Scripture from a human perspective, digging out the truths of the Word of God. Here's the next one, is called discernment. Being able to discern. Discerning of the spirits, it says in verse 10. Discernment is the ability to tell which things are from the Holy Spirit and which things are not. Discernment is being able to tell what is of God and what is not. It's really distinguishing the truth from the error is what discernment is. And there are certain people that have a gift of discernment, of discerning what is right and what is of the Lord and what is not. And that gift, you know, that gift really is for the protection of the church and the body of the believer. So the gift of discernment and that here. To another, discerning of spirits and to know what is of the Lord. And then the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is the ability to show deep compassion to those who have a spiritual or physical or emotional needs. And boy, how great that gift can be used in the body of Christ. People that have a need, spiritual need, a physical need, an emotional need, and there are certain people in our church family that just have a knack for that or have a gift for that, have the gift of mercy. And then trying to help and to figure out how to be able to help in that time. Then the gift of exhortation. Exhortation is the ability to encourage and motivate. Let me ask you this. When you come to church, do you ever run into a certain person or whoever that is just one of those people that's an encourager, has the ability to encourage and uplift? That's a godly spiritual gift. A person with that gift can come along beside another and be able to comfort them or help in times of discouragement or times. You know, you never know what people are when they come through that door Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you never know what they've gone through that week. And we need the gift of exhortation to be able to help those. That's a gift in the church that we can utilize. And then the gift of giving. Talks about the gift of giving here in these gifts. And that gift is a direct reference to the material ministry of the giving. And you know, this church, there are many perhaps, I don't know who they are, but they have a gift of giving from the standpoint that when you present a need, they always are willing to step up and help that in a need. I don't know, time and time again, I've had people say, boy, the congregation at First Baptist, they respond well to a genuine, sincere need. And I really believe there are many in the congregation that have the gift of giving and helping in ministry, helping somebody with food or clothing or money or whatever is going on in response to the needs of the church. Then the gift here, notice that of administration, talks about these gifts. And I'm pulling these from verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, also down in verse 28, verse 29, verse 30 in these gifts. But the gift of administration is really the gift of the, really many times where pastors, they have the ability to oversee the flock. And that gift is used by pastors or elders or deacons and as well as leaders and perhaps even missionaries along the way to be able to see. And God puts a great importance upon overseeing the flock and protecting the flock and overseeing and protecting those within the diversity of the flock. Let me give you a couple more and we'll be done here tonight. The gift of helps. Talks about the gift of helps there in verse 28. And that helps is the ability to lead in a time of need or bear one another's burdens as a situation arises. The gift of helps is being sensitive, compassionate. Many times we don't know what another person goes through unless we maybe have gone through it ourselves, and you can relate to something because you've gone through something and you're able to help in that given ministry, the gift of helps. And then the gift of service. And that area, their gift is working in the body of Christ in a physical ministry. And there are so many in our church family that that does this, the gift of service, being able to help with that. And such, you know, you think about what a blessing. I don't think there's anybody, any church, anywhere that I've ever been connected to that does funeral dinners and food service and that better than First Baptist Church. We have a great crew of people that does that, pulls together and works together. And I don't know, every time we go through that, I have people time and time again that say, Pastor, what a blessing, what a help. And again, we'll be able to go through it on January the 27th and helping the Adams family to be able to go through that as a gift of serving others. And that's why we do that. We do that to be able to be a help and encouragement and blessing. And you'd be surprised, so many, and they write thank you notes back to thank God for those that have served along the way. That is a diversity of gift. That's a gift in the church, and not everybody can do that. It's hard work, but it pays great dividends along the way. So I think we're going to stop there. We'll pick up in chapter 13 as we go on and these gifts. So there are many gifts there from which to choose. And the important thing is to find your gift and to realize that we have been gifted by the Holy Spirit of God. And you say, well, how will you know? You'll be interested. It'll be something that you'll be attracted to. It'll be something that you'll feel useful in. It'll be something that you can get engaged in and find your diversity of gift as we serve together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you tonight. Thank you for the local New Testament church. God, thank you for 1 Corinthians 12, and thank you for the importance of understanding these gifts and how you brought diversity into the congregation and all these gifts given by the Holy Spirit. And Father, may each and every one of us find our gift and that which you've given to us to be able to serve in. May we use that within the body of Christ to be a blessing to others and to strengthen the congregation. And God, it's all for your honor and glory that we can do what we do and do it to the best of our ability in the pursuit of excellence. And God, we'll be sure to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. Good to see you tonight. You're dismissed.